Zechariah chapter 6. And both here and those watching in from home, I invite you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Now I lifted up my eyes again and looked, and behold, four chariots were coming forth from between the two mountains, and the mountains were bronze mountains. With the first chariot were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, with the fourth chariot strong dappled horses. Then I spoke and said to the angel who was speaking with me, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel answered and said to me, "These are the four spirits of heaven going forth after standing before the Lord of all the earth. With one of which the black horses are going forth to the north country, and the white ones go forth after them, while the dappled ones go forth to the south country. When the strong ones went out, they were eager to go to patrol the earth. And he said, 'Go patrol the earth.' So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me and spoke to me, saying, 'See, those who are going to the land of the north have appeased my wrath in the land of the north.'" Heavenly Father, we pray as we consider this last vision in Zechariah's collection of visions that one night, and this last vision connects to so many places in relationship to Bible prophecy. Lord, help us to be able to connect some of that tonight, that we might see the significance of the vision of the four chariots. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit will apply it to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Zechariah chapter 6, in verse 1, it tells us Zechariah lifted up his eyes again. I lifted up my eyes again and looked. Again implies now the eighth time in this one night that Zechariah lifted up his eyes and saw a vision. This is vision number 8 in this one night. Remember, these visions started back at chapter 1, verse 7, and they conclude here tonight in chapter 6, verse 8. That one night we had determined was February 14th, 519 BC, and eight visions in one night would have been quite a sleepless night, very likely, for Zechariah. So this is now the eighth and final vision. In verses 1-3, we see the description of the vision. What is it that Zechariah saw? Sight 1, you see in verse 1, he saw four chariots. Four chariots. Very likely, these chariots are angelic in some way, some form. We're reminded of Psalm 68, in the verse right before the verse we looked at this morning, Psalm 68, verse 17, the chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands, and some of your versions say, of angels. The chariots, angelic beings, the Lord, Adonai, is among them as at Sinai in holiness. So the chariots of God, and we see here this is in relationship to Mount Sinai, carrying out the judgments of the law of God. In Zechariah chapter 6, verse 5, we see that these chariots are the four spirits of heaven. So Zechariah is told that they are angelic beings of some kind. Four spirits of heaven. So he sees the four chariots. Sight number 2, still in verse 1. He sees that the four chariots were coming from between two mountains. Those mountains are not identified. Very likely, as we think in this context of judgment, we could relate them to Joel chapter 3, verse 12, that talks about judgment being in the valley of decision. And that valley, Joel 3 verse 12, is the valley of Jehoshaphat, where the Lord will sit to judge all of the surrounding nations. The valley of Jehoshaphat, if in fact that is what this is, and that would be our best reference to it. If you want to come up with two other mountains, you may, but what are they? So, you know, if you want to ask, well, how do you know these two mountains are very likely the Mount of Olives and Mount Zion? I suggest that because they would stand on either side of the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and that is the Valley of Judgment. If you would like to make another suggestion, you're free to do so, but I don't know what it would be. So we'll take it as that. Four chariots coming from between the two mountains. Site number three, still in verse one, the mountains were bronze. Now, this is the only place in your whole Bible that you read of bronze mountains. And so you say, well, what am I supposed to do? Investigate the planet to find bronze mountains? No, remember, this is a vision that Zechariah is seeing. Bronze is often, not always, but often associated with judgment. In Exodus 27, 2 through 6, you have the construction of the bronze altar or the brazen altar where sacrifices would be made. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 15 and chapter 2 verse 18, you see that Jesus' feet, glorified, have the appearance of bronze as Jesus would stand in holiness and judgment. So four chariots coming between two mountains having to do with judgment. The mountains are bronze, which further indicates that point. And site number four in verse two, the four chariots are pulled by different colored horses. Now, we've met some of these horses before, back in chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. But we'll meet them here tonight in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 6. In verse 2, the first chariot with the first set of horses, these are red horses. And if you remember back to chapter 1, verse 8, that was seven visions ago. If you remember back to that, we referenced Revelation chapter 6, verse 4, that the rider on the red horse in Revelation 6, 4 brings war as judgment upon the earth. And just as a point for when you're reading the book of Revelation, don't let people sidetrack you by saying that the opening judgments, the seals of the book of Revelation in chapter 6, that those are not the wrath of God. They are. And this demonstrates it. The red horses are coming in judgment, pulling a judgment chariot. They're sent to bring war, and that war is the judgment of divine wrath upon the earth. So to say, well, I think we're here, the rapture isn't until the middle or early in the second half of the tribulation, and that's actually when the wrath of God starts. No, the wrath of God starts from the beginning of the tribulation. And so that is a demonstration that the rapture must be before the tribulation begins, because believers will not experience the wrath of God ever. So this is the red horses, the judgment of war upon the earth. The second chariot with the second set of horses, pulled by black horses in verse 2. And again, there were black horses in Revelation chapter 6 that represent famine and starvation, also judgment of God, God's wrath upon the earth. In verse 3, we see the third chariot pulled by the third set of horses that are white horses. We saw those in chapter 1, verse 8 also. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, it is the Antichrist coming as the deceiver riding on the white horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Counterfeiting, of course, the ultimate white horse that Jesus will be riding at his second coming. But Antichrist comes riding a white horse, conquering and taking over the world. And in verse 3, the fourth chariot, pulled by the fourth set of horses, called here in verse 3, dappled horses. And we have red, black, white in the other passages. It's interesting, in chapter 1, verse 8, we don't have dappled horses. We have sorrel-colored horses. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, we have ashen or pale-colored horse. The horse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, is the judgment of death upon the earth, bringing the death of one-fourth of the world's population. Some have asked me, could the coronavirus be a judgment of the tribulation? The answer to that is no. First of all, the judgments of the tribulation happen during the tribulation, and this isn't it. If it was, and pestilences are part of the judgments of the tribulation, but those bring the death. This is just in the first 18 months of the tribulation, the death of one-fourth of the world's population. So try this on. If the coronavirus was a tribulation judgment leading to death, there would be approximately 2 billion people on the face of this planet dead from the coronavirus? Okay, is this it? No, there aren't 2 billion people dead from the coronavirus. There aren't 1 billion people dead. There aren't 500 million people dead. That's not to say that instigators behind all of it wouldn't want that many people to be dead. There probably are those, and they do. But this isn't it, and that's not going to happen prior to the rapture of the church. So be assured, this is not that, but that is coming. And we see the hint of this here in Zechariah. So, dappled horses, sorrel horses, ashen horses, those are technically not all the same, but they all fit the category of this fourth set of horses that are here. So maybe that's some of how that fits together. So that's what Zechariah saw. Four chariots between two mountains made of bronze, and the chariots are pulled by four different colored horses in four sets. Now, verses 4-8, the explanation of the vision. In verse 4, Zechariah asks the interpreting angel for the meaning of these four chariots. Aren't you glad he asked? Oh, maybe you already know it all. But Zechariah didn't. He had to ask, and he asks, what do these four chariots mean? Beginning in verse 5, the angel gives Zechariah the explanation. The angel answered and said to him, and here it is. In verse 5, the four chariots are the four spirits of heaven. The four spirits of heaven. It's in relation to angelic beings, and the word spirit can also mean wind or breath. So the four spirits of heaven, the four winds of heaven, and let's see how these relate to one another by looking at Psalm 104, verse 4. He makes the winds his angels, his messengers, and flaming fire his ministers. The creation of angels comes with wind and fire. The winds, the spirits, are his messengers, his angels. You can see this also in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 1. John says, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, so that no wind would blow on the earth or on the sea or on any tree. Angels and winds related to one another in Revelation. So the four chariots, the angel says, are four spirits of heaven. They are spiritual, angelic beings. That's the four chariots. Now, the four chariots, still in verse 5, are sent out from God to do what he wants done in the earth. You see in verse 5, they are going forth after standing before the Lord, Adonai, of all the earth. These angels have been standing before the Lord, and now they are what? They are sent out from the presence of the Lord to do what the Lord has commanded them to do. He has dispatched them. This seems to be very similar to what we see in the book of Daniel as a precursor to the Battle of Armageddon. Daniel chapter 11, starting in verse 40. At the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, the willful king, Antichrist. So the king of the south will collide with Antichrist. The king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships. He will enter countries, overflow them, and pass through. He will also enter the beautiful land, and many countries will fall. But these will be rescued out of his hand, Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. Then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape. And he will gain control over the hidden treasures of gold and silver, over all the precious things of Egypt, and Libyans and Ethiopians will follow at his heels. Rumors from the east and from the north will disturb him, and he will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain, yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. And so these angelic beings are going forth, apparently, because it tells us they're going north and south and patrolling all over the earth to bring to pass the kind of thing that we see in Daniel chapter 11. In verse 6, the chariot with black horses goes to the north. Now, when it says north, that does not mean Canada. This is north in relationship to Jerusalem. And you know, evil, the threats of evil, the attacks of evil come from the north. That's throughout your Old Testament. They come from the north, and there is a reason for that that we won't go into tonight. But to the north would include Assyria, Babylon, the land of Magog, which would extend into what you call today Turkey and Russia. That is all to the north. So the black horses go to the north to bring judgments upon the evil that comes from the north. The chariot with the white horses, still in verse 6, that chariot follows the one with the black horses, which means that also goes north. So you read that in verse 6. The chariot with the dappled horses goes south. Well, south would not be Alabama or Brazil. It would be south from Jerusalem. This is Egypt and the rest of Africa. That chariot goes south. That sounds like what we read in Daniel chapter 11. The king of the north and the king of the south. In verse 7, and you observe the chariot with the red horses is not named, but it is referred to in verse 8, the strong ones. The chariot with the red horses would be the strong ones. When they went out, they were eager to go patrol the earth. And you'll recall chapter 1, verse 10. That is what they were sent to do. These are those whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. Verse 11, we have patrolled the earth. And so they are still patrolling the earth. Red horses, the strong ones. So this is the explanation. Now, one final thing in verse 8 helps us to make sense of this just a little bit more. Zechariah saw in verse 8 that those going north, that is the chariot with the black horses and the chariot with the white horses, those going north appeased the wrath of God in the land of the north. Now you have to think and you have to remember. When is a judgment of the wrath of God poured out on the land of the north? It is Ezekiel 38 and 39, the battle of Gog, who is a person, from the land of Magog. Gog is a person. Magog is a place. Gog is a king from the land of Magog to the north of Jerusalem of Israel. And the Gog-Magog battle, which even until tonight has not yet occurred, but it will. And in that, the wrath of God will be poured out on the land of the north. And that is what Zechariah's prophecy is stating here. They're going to the land of the north. They've appeased my wrath in the land of the north. So this final vision of Zechariah on that night says to Zechariah and to all of Israel, God will protect Israel. In Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon is true. Israel destroyed? No, true Israel is kept safe. Antichrist and all of his forces are destroyed. In the Gog and Magog battle, is Israel destroyed? By the way, those who are in leadership in Israel tonight continue to believe. They've believed it for a number of years already, but they continue to believe tonight that the Gog-Magog battle could be any moment. And they're ready for it. Benjamin Netanyahu knows that when it comes, Israel wins. He said so. He knows that. And when it comes, Israel does win. And the surrounding nations to the north and to the south will lose. God will protect his people. He will protect Israel by bringing the salvation of the Jewish people and giving them a protective place to shelter in the wilderness during the second half of the tribulation period. In the land near Petra. He will give them a place to shelter. And he will take care of the church, his people, by getting us out of here before it all begins. And so what's coming in this vision for us, this is a great encouragement when we read it. You say, well, it's kind of weird, all this stuff with colored horses and all of that. I'm not sure that I get all of that. Just understand, this is about future judgment. And if you're saved, you won't be here for it. And so we take real encouragement from this, and we encourage those Jewish listeners, maybe some listening in tonight, that now is a very good time to trust Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior. Because all of this, you say, well, this has been delayed now for 2,700 years. Well, okay. That just means it's a whole lot sooner than it was 2,700 years ago, isn't it? And so be ready, be prepared for these things. Let's stand together tonight for our closing word of prayer. Lord, in fact, some things in your word do seem strange to us. Getting to peer into a vision that Zechariah had does seem a bit strange. But Lord, thank you for revealing it to us. Thank you for sending your angel to explain it to Zechariah. And thank you, Father, for the hope and strength and encouragement that we gain from it. May we take that with us now into this week to come. Lord, may your people, those who are gathered here, those who are listening from elsewhere tonight, Lord, may they be strengthened for all that they encounter in this week. And Lord, all of it we know you have sent from your hand and for your people. That is good. So, Lord, tonight, with your prophecy, with your hope, and with your blessing, we go. In Jesus' name, amen.